You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of
Dr. Stan here at Greater Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, it looks like our regularly scheduled guest isn't going to be available. His mailbox is full, and he's not answering his telephone, so it's going to be you and me. We'll do open lines, and what would you like to talk about? Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I would like to hear what you think about what's going on and get your views on any issue you'd like. We'll discuss whatever you'd like. But right now, of course, I think one of the gravest situations we face is not what's going on over the Middle East and the Near East, although this is a major issue, basically. Our intelligence agencies are over there. We are determined to topple those countries. Certainly, what is our possible justification for actually committing our planes? And Great Britain has committed military advisors to go over and advise, certainly advise the and train the rebels. There's only about 1,000 people in Libya rising up against Gaddafi. It's a highly structured society, primarily tribal, and of course, basically most of the people don't want to overthrow the government. Gaddafi's been very generous with the oil revenues, buying the support of the people, but that really doesn't matter. We are determined to overthrow that government just exactly as we overthrew the government of Tunisia, as we overthrew the government of the other governments over there, Egypt, and certainly we are agitating what's going on in Syria. You can be absolutely certain of that. But the American people aren't being allowed to know, oh, this is spontaneous, it's about Facebook, it's about some guy who works for Google who had actually organized the revolt there in Egypt. Ladies and gentlemen, this man was highly trained and he had all been to a number of security meetings put on by our government. He was obviously carrying out the instructions he was told to. Everything going on over there is carefully orchestrated, but we can't let the American people know that. And yet, in many ways, this is a diversion. And it's a diversion because the really serious problem is taking place here in the United States today. And, of course, what we're seeing is the destruction of the monetary structure of our government and the government of the entire world. Well, if you'd like to give us a call, the number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But what you must understand is they're simply lying to us about what's going on in America. They tell us that the gross domestic product is increasing. We're up to 3.5%. But what they don't tell you is how they actually develop the gross domestic product. What is the gross domestic product of a nation? Well, it's all the sales and manufacturing, all the economic and the activity in the nation, minus the rate of inflation. Because, of course, if inflation actually increases the sales. So if you take off inflation, let's imagine you have a gross domestic product of 5%, and you take off inflation rate, which is 2%, then you can say we have a 3% GDP growth. And that's the way that they calculate it. But the problem is, in the United States, inflation is not 2%, it's about 10%. So basically, What we really have is we're a minus GDP, but it's being carefully hidden. It's being carefully hidden by the inflation rate we have. And our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. It's open lines. Give us a call. We'd love to talk to you. Well, we've got Kent in West Virginia. Hi, Kent. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi, Dr. Kent. Just a quick observation. I was listening this morning, I guess it was on the BBC, and maybe Radio Australia, I don't know.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verki water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verki water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Gaddafi is actually arming the civilian population. Well, if he was a terrible oppressor, why would he dare and how would he dare arm the civilians with military weapons? And the reason is because he's really quite popular among most of the people over there. He has actually been very free, distributing money, buying the support of the people, exactly as we're seeing down there in Venezuela. The fellow in charge of Venezuela is actually giving a lot of money to the average individual down there, so the average individual supports him as long as the government's giving him money. The problem is you can't do that indefinitely. But Gaddafi's been able to do it because they have, you know, very, very rich oil. It's very sweet oil. It's very profitable. And unfortunately, why, of course, or maybe fortunately for Gaddafi, he's had the money, he's bought the support of the people, and he's not been an unpopular tyrant. A tyrant, admittedly. But we have tyrants in Saudi Arabia. We have tyrants all over the world. And of course, right here in the United States, the government buys the support of the people with their Social Security and medical benefits to the point where most Americans will support our government no matter what it does and who it tortures and who it kills and who it assassinates. as long as we get our Social Security checks and our Medicare checks. And when was the last time you heard any of our leaders, especially our Republican leaders, speaking out against the use of torture? And this goes on in America today. And it's unconscionable, and I fear God is going to bring his judgment on this nation up because of it. Kent, go ahead.
And was a week or two ago, I heard, I guess it was on the Russian radio, that they said that, going back, you know, we know how ominous some of these war game type things are, that they said that back in November, France and Britain had signed an agreement to conduct war games in the Mediterranean. And lo and behold, it just so happened that the time for those war games, scheduled time, was just coincidentally occurred at the same time that this thing broke out in Libya. So there they were, all ready to jump in with both feet, you know, right there in the Mediterranean.
In fact, according to Joel Skousen, there's a Marine division moving from Southern California and heading into the Mediterranean. I fear that we're going to commit troops there. They'll only have to find some reason to do it. I hope and pray I'm wrong. The last thing we need is another war. We've been bound down for 9 years in Afghanistan in a no-win war. We have our troops still over there, about 50,000 of them, still in Iraq. And, of course, we have no intention of pulling them out. We're telling the American people now, well, the Iraqis want us to stay. The Iraqis don't want us to leave. After all, we're a stabilizing force. We're going to have to leave 10,000 troops or something there. Ladies and gentlemen, we built the largest, you know, embassy in the whole world in Iraq. We've got all sorts of bases built over there, permanent bases. We have no intention of pulling our troops out. That's all just for public consumption, the idea that we're going to pull our troops out. The American empire is going to continue to dominate that region of the world until the American empire falls. But all empires eventually fall because of fiscal mismanagement, and of course countries go bankrupt. This is what happened to ancient Greece. This is what happened to ancient Rome. This is what happened to Great Britain, to the British Empire, and it's happening to the American Empire. And we know that this is planned, because if you read the article written certainly by Richard Haass, who's the director or president of the Council on Foreign Relations, it's in the November-December issue of Foreign Affairs magazine, the theoretical journal of the Council on Foreign Relations, and he quotes another author as saying that certainly other empires have gone down because, of course, they've gone bankrupt. And this is the thing to fear in America. Well, Richard Haass knows exactly what's going on. Everything is planned, and they intend to bankrupt this country, destroy our empire. But don't you worry. It'll be replaced by the one world government, which is what it's all about. Anything else, Kent, before we let you go?
No, just one final thing. All these countries over there seem to have these hated, quote-unquote, what they call them, emergency laws that they're sort of dismantling now. And I'm wondering whether people will one day look upon the Patriot Act as America's version of these emergency laws, you know?
I think you're absolutely right. The Patriot Act never should have been passed, because, of course, what happened on 9/11 wasn't exactly what we were told, because those buildings were brought down by explosives. You do not get, if the building is collapsing in pancake, the vaporization of the cement, and over 1,000 bodies were vaporized, have never been found, and that doesn't happen with a pancake collapse. Anyway, thanks very much for calling, and let's go to Dean, who's calling us from Riverside, California. And once again, our telephone number, it's open line, so give us a call. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Hi, Dean. How are you doing?
Very well, Dr. Stan. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, thanks.
Good. I've got a couple of questions for you. One is Joel Skousen. You interview him basically once a week, and he's got a couple of books out. I've got some of his books that I've read, and I wonder, would it be possible for you to, when you're interviewing Joel Skousen, to open up the lines for some questions and comments?
Well, Dean, what I usually do is I have Joel come on, and he goes over the World Affairs brief for that week. And I ordinarily do not open up the lines because I want him to get out the information that he's covered. He puts a lot of work into the World Affairs brief, and I just want him to get that information out. I specifically don't ordinarily open the lines, say, with Dr. Cuddy or with Joel Skousen. You know, because I don't think it will add to the program. With Bob Chapman, we have him on every week, and we do open up the lines because we want other people. But with Joel, it just ordinarily, I want his information out there. That's the reason we do the program the way we do. Those are the only two programs where we routinely do not open the lines.
Right.
Did you have a question for Joel, something you specifically wanted to have asked?
Well, yeah, I do. I mean, I don't have them right now with me, but I can think of like three or four. I've read two of his books, and I can think of a couple of questions to ask him if the lines were opened up, and maybe one of these times you could open the lines for Joel. He's got some great information. Really fascinating, especially if you read his books, you can come up with some questions.
Well, I think Joel really is. We're very, very fortunate to have him. First of all, he gives an excellent appraisal of various issues. He always has a little different slant on what's taking place than most people do. And, of course, in his career before he started this newsletter, he was actually an architect for high-security homes, so how people could have secure homes. Certainly the Mormon faith, and Joel is Mormon, believes there's going to be a terrible catastrophe hitting America, and certainly people have to be prepared for it. I agree with that totally. Of course, as you know, the Mormons are told to have a year's supply of food on hand because there is going to be this catastrophe. There are going to be food shortages. There's going to be a breakdown of society, that the Constitution is going to hang by a thread. And, of course, they feel that a Mormon is going to step forward and save America. Now, I cannot believe that, but I can believe everything else that's going on. And I enjoy having Joel on, and I certainly value his friendship and the information he puts out. Incidentally, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you're out there, have a question or comment, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Anything else, Dean, you'd like to ask or state?
Yeah, I'd like to say that I like the new seeds guy, the guy who sells seeds. I tried to get to the garden in a can guy, and I had a lot of trouble, and now I called this new seeds dealer that you've got.
You're talking about, Buck Keeley is the new fellow we have, right?
Is that who it is?
Buck Keeley, yes. Great. He is the seedcatalog.com, seedcatalog.com.
And it's no problem at all, man. I called the number. I sent a money order, and less than 1 week, I've got seeds, and I've got my greenhouse going. The sun came out today. I'm a happy man.
Well, I put my radishes in, and they were up well within a week. Some of the other things we planted, I think, some carrots and one or two other things. They've not come up yet, but the radishes are flourishing. And I think I just wanted to see how it would work, Sydney, and we're really looking forward to seeing those seeds sprout. And Sydney, I think we're increasingly going to have to learn to grow our own food and be able to look away from all these ready-prepared products. Most of them are just not good for us.
Well, I'd like to suggest that if anybody is thinking about it, they ought to get started now, because you just don't go out into the backyard and throw a bunch of seeds around and next week have a great salad. So it takes a lot of work, man, and there's a lot to it, but it's really fun, and I'm enjoying it. So,
well, I'm glad you are, and I'm glad you got good results from Buck Keeley. We're very, very pleased to have him advertising with us, and and CJ, who has the website on the story of Jesus. They both work on it. CJ has the farm up there, and Buck works for them, so they're close together, and because it makes it very convenient, we don't want to interview them, we do them both in the same hour. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295, and ladies and gentlemen, it's time, I think, to start thinking about how you're going to get by as things get very bad in America. Well, Dean, are you making other preparations for the difficult times that lie ahead there? Oh, Dean left the line, but ladies and gentlemen, I think that we can anticipate we're going to be moving into very, very difficult times. So
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Going to be a collapse of our monetary system. And, of course, this was what was originally stipulated. The Federal Reserve System is totally illegal. Basically, it gives the private banking cartel control of our monetary system and, as a result, control of our government, of our economy. And when you can create money out of nothing, why, it's very easy to buy and sell politicians. I mean, after all, President Obama has recently appointed a new chief of staff. His previous chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, now is running for mayor of Chicago. And or perhaps he is the mayor of Chicago to replace Mayor Daley. And who is, of course, the new chief of staff? His name is William Daley. He's the brother of mayor or former mayor of Chicago, who was replaced by Rahm Emanuel, who was the previous chief of staff. But William Daley was actually employed by J.P. Morgan Chase. This is the sort of things that are really going on. Hey, Jack, do you have one more point? I've got a couple of other callers.
Okay, I just wanted to point out to the audience that what the state of Utah is doing, and I believe the state of Tennessee as well, is simply abide by the constitutional mandate of Article 1, Section 10, which says where states, no state shall coin money. So the states can't actually, according to this, coin their own money. But then it says make anything but gold and silver coin the tender in payment of debt. So it's almost contradictory there. And then when you consider what the 10th Amendment, the state's rights, no power granted to the federal government is retained by the states, well, I would think it would be in the best interest of all the states to have that provision in the event of a currency collapse.
I think you're absolutely right, Jack, and thank you very much for calling to bring that out. And let's go to John calling us from Spokane. Again, our number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or 464-8295, but I think Jack's point is well made. And it is basically this, that the people in Utah are anticipating a monetary collapse here in the United States. And ladies and gentlemen, you better start thinking about that as well, because I believe it's coming. They're going to destroy the value of our currency and of our pensions and of anything denominated in dollars. They know exactly what they're doing. And, of course, this is going to result in terrible chaos and suffering here. And, of course, then there will be a demand for a new currency. I suspect it will be a world currency. And, of course, that will go along with completing their plan for the one world government. After that, then, comes the destruction of Christianity. John, or at least this is what they want to do, because these people hate Christianity because they worship a different god. John, do you have a question or comment? John calling from Spokane.
Yes. I just want to thank you for having open lines again. And here in Spokane, Washington, we only get 2 hours of the program. I heard recently that your program is 5 hours long, but we get the 4 to 5 hour, and then we get the 8 to 9 hour. But I really enjoy the program, and so I don't get a chance to listen to it every day on a regular basis. But the few times each week that I have a chance to listen, it's really enjoyable.
Well, do you have access to a computer?
What's that?
You have access to a computer with broadband?
No, my computer is at a friend's house.
Okay. You can listen to us on the Internet, or, of course, you can listen to 2 hours of our afternoon program any time of the day. If you have a cell phone with unlimited minutes or an iPhone, something like that. And, of course, that's it by calling 760-LOWSS11. That's SS11. So there are many, many means of getting us an MP3 if you had a computer, but then our programs are archived there. But we're just fortunate to have 2 hours a day up there reaching the good people of Spokane, because in any area where we can reach the people, it does have an impact. Any other thoughts, John?
Yes, I thought I'd share some thoughts that I wrote down a while back. One is separating politics and economics from Christian principles will degenerate into the mafia gangsterism of satanic socialism. Society without Christianity is the paganism of chaotic confusion, while Christianity without social responsibility becomes heretical hypocrisy. Politics and economics combined with Christian principles becomes the social stability of freedom and liberty.
Well, somebody once said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And basically, of course, what we, our system of government is made for moral and religious people who wouldn't work for any other. You can't have limited government unless you have moral people. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metals. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
I would like to talk about whatever you'd like to talk about, but inflation is here, ladies and gentlemen, and we're just getting the first stages of inflation. A few weeks ago, why Bob Chapman was saying that the inflation rate was simply about 4-5%, would be 14% before the end of the year. I noticed in his last newsletter he said inflation rate is 9%. I think that's probably pretty accurate. I fear it will be close to 20% before this year is out, at least in the way things are increasing in price, because the price of cotton is up over 100%, which is driving up the cost of clothing, since most of it is imported. And right now, of course, what's happening over in China, the wages have gone up so high, and now they're allowing the yuan to appreciate and increase in value. And as a result of that, why of course, their products have become less competitive. They've become more expensive on the world market, especially as the dollar is falling. But what you're beginning to see is the whole unraveling of the world monetary system. And it's not that our leaders are foolish, or they don't know what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want the American people to know what they're doing. Basically, the dollar is the reserve currency of the world. When you have a fiat money system, why, if you simply turn out excessive money, why you can get temporary prosperity, but you end up with eventually getting inflation and the whole system comes down. That is, of course, if you are one nation, but we are the reserve currency for the entire world. So what we've been able to do is we've been able to export our inflation. The Federal Reserve System has just been churning out money for a long period of time, but we've had so much money, and then, of course, the American people have been buying imports. As a result, then, that money has gone overseas into other nations' coffers. So we've exported our inflation to other nations. And that is, of course, have given them temporary prosperity, because after all, you increase the amount of money, you get this impression of temporary prosperity. But as time goes by and the wages rise and the cost of goods rise, eventually, you have to keep putting out more and more money to maintain the artificial prosperity you've created by an artificial increase in the money supply. And eventually, it's sort of like when you are a drug addict and a small amount of drug initially will make you feel better, but then the next time you need a little bit more to get the same high, and then you need a little bit more the next time, and you keep needing more and more to get the same stimulation, and finally, of course, you have to take a lethal dose, and of course, it kills you with the drugs. And this is exactly what happens with the monetary system, and this is exactly what is happening not only to the United States, but to the entire world. The only reason, of course, that the system did not collapse after the 2008 collapse in Lehman Brothers went down was because the federal government started churning out massive amounts of money, over $13 trillion. Now, remember, our entire budget here in the United States is only at the present time $3.6 trillion. We turned out $13 trillion and lent it to corporations and the banks all over the world. We lend money to essentially to Volvo, we lend it to Toyota, we lend it to all these nations to keep them through all the corporations all over the world, to keep them from collapsing. And most of this went actually to foreign banks. And the last thing that Ben Bernanke wanted was to let the American people know what they'd done. Well, eventually they were forced to reveal what they'd done. And, of course, this is what kept the whole world monetary system collapsing. But it's only the massive expenditures now, quantitative easing 1, quantitative easing 2, and we're turning out, about another $1.5 trillion. We've already put out about $3.5 trillion to try to keep our own economy going, and it's only going to get worse and worse. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And, of course, you can tell what's going because the price of commodities here in the United States is going up. The price of soybeans, the price of wheat, the price of rice, the price of all the basic essentials is going up and going up dramatically. We see this reflected now in the increasing price of oil. And if Lindsay Williams is correct, and I think he is, and oil goes to $150 a barrel, would you know what that's going to cost you for your gasoline? It's going to cost you $6.50 to $7 a gallon for gasoline. What is that going to do to the cost of airline tickets? What's that going to do to the price of the food and the products in your stores that are brought in by trucking? And, of course, not to say not only what it's going to cost the individual as far as the price of gasoline. And this is being all engineered by the oil companies that work in concert. They're all in on this together because they're all part of the Brotherhood of Darkness. And they want to collapse our economy. And you say, why would anybody want to do that? Well, because they want to bring about the world government. And when you understand that there are other motivations, it's much more than simply money. It is this whole dream, which has been around for literally thousands of years, and we're witnessing its fulfillment at the present time. to bring about the one world government, the one world financial system, the one world currency, and the one world religion. And that is, of course, why there's such an anti-Christian attitude on the part of our government, because it can't let the American people know, and that isn't our government, that's their government. That's the invisible government, the Brotherhood of Darkness, which is the real ruling force in the United States today. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But what you must understand is that all this talk you hear about, oh, we've got to cut government spending, oh, we've got to have a balanced budget, oh, they're going to get into trouble from all these expenditures, it's all rhetoric. Basically, you saw a recent battle between the Republicans and the Democrats over how much we would cut from the current budget. And the Obama wanted to cut $10 billion. The Republicans wanted to cut $60 billion. They actually compromised at $38 billion. Now, remember that the expenditures, overall expenditures, are about $3.6 billion. So $38 billion is about a 1% cut in federal expenditures. The deficit's about 40% of that. But did we really cut $38 billion? No. If you look at the information out of the Congressional Budget Office, why, a lot of that $38 billion was money that was not going to be spent, money that was left over from previous appropriations. According to the Congressional Budget Office, the real savings was about $366 million. $366 million, not $380 billion, about 1% of what we were told. That's all the money that's really going to be saved. All the rest of it was done with smoke and mirrors to give you the impression something was going to happen. The Republicans are going right along with the charade, but the American people don't understand it's a charade. So basically, if you understand that we've cut 1% of the $38 billion, 1% is all the really cut, and of course the $38 billion is simply 1% of what expenditures, we're talking about a 10,000th of the expenditures this year we actually cut here with this compromise. It's all smoke and mirrors, and of course if you look at Paul Ryan's plan, I will agree with him that we certainly probably going to have to go to the vouchers for Medicare. That'll mean at least some senior citizens who could afford medical care will be able to get it. The rest are going to be simply allowed to die, because you're going to have a committee in Washington, D.C. that is going to say how medicine will be practiced, at what age you get care, and do you really think that when you're 80 years old, you're going to be able to get open-heart surgery at the cost of $50,000 or $60,000? Of course not. They don't have the money, ladies and gentlemen, and the government has to, of course, be actuarially sound, and so they're simply going to allow the senior citizens to die. At least the voucher system will get a lot of people out of that system, and they'll be able to purchase a medical insurance policy, and they may have to subsidize it with something on their own, but certainly, until people start paying the bills themselves, why, we'll never get back to any sort of free society. But even Paul Ryan's budget, certainly, it does not have a balanced budget and would never have a balanced budget. Neither the Obama budget, the Democrat budget, or the Republican budget is going to solve the problem. The only thing is we'll go bankrupt just a little bit more slowly with the Republican budget, but neither one gets back to a balanced budget or cuts the deficits considerably. One just cuts them a little bit more than the other one, but neither one of them, of course, is really going to solve the problem. In fact, the Obama budget is temporarily cut and goes right back to where we are today. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Have you ever thought what will happen if our whole monetary system collapses? Have you ever understood what inflation really does to a nation? For instance, basically, of course, I think that they've tried on several occasions to find out exactly what could be done. We imposed the government in Zimbabwe We brought this in 1980 when the people of Rhodesia did not want Mugabe. He was a Marxist-trained murdering thug. And they had free and open elections. They elected a man named Bishop Hezeweo, a black man, who would have led Rhodesia. And they were a first-world nation, a prosperous nation. There was no apartheid. There was no religious discrimination. There was no racial discrimination in Rhodesia. Everybody had a job. Everybody was prosperous. The educational level and the prosperity of the black man was improving. And we imposed this Marxist thug there who systematically destroyed the nation. Half the people have fled the country. 85% unemployment. A very little regular running water or electricity. Nothing in the country is working. But we destroyed the value of their currency. Now, we've kept Mugabe in power. Oh, we talk against him. Oh, my goodness, isn't he terrible? Well, we can always provide the humanitarian aid so we can pay his military and so we can pay his military commanders. If we wanted to get rid of him, we'd simply bribe the military, as we did in Egypt and Tunisia, and then overthrow him. But we don't do that. And the military, of course, benefits because they live very, very well. They live very well in Zimbabwe today, used to be Rhodesia. They live very well there today because, of course, of the humanitarian aid we give. Doesn't get to the people. It keeps Mugabe in power. It provides payment for the military, provides payment for the secret police, provides payment for the regular police who rape and pillage the people there. And this is the end result of a planned program, put forward by the Brotherhood of Darkness to see how you would destroy a first world nation. We've done the same thing in Iraq, of course. When the war ended there, we'd taken Iraq within a couple of weeks, and they were a first world nation. They had, electricity and water and sanitation and jobs, and most people were fairly prosperous. And even though they didn't like Saddam Hussein, they knew he was being kept in power by the American government. If you doubt that we were keeping him in power, you need to read the book, See No Evil, by Robert Baer. We offer that. He was a CIA agent living in Kurdistan all during the 1990s. And he will tell you he never met an Iraqi who did not believe the American government was keeping Saddam Hussein in power. And most of them actually believed the CIA was keeping Saddam Hussein in power. In fact, they believed he was working for the CIA, and we know he had been in the past, and we were keeping him in power and older in the 1990s. But, of course, George Bush had taken the country there in 2003, why they sent Paul Bremer over. Paul Bremer, coming from Kissinger and Associates, remember, is Henry Kissinger, instrumental in bringing Mugabe to power in Rhodesia. And, of course, I've talked to people who were in Rhodesia at the time when, of course, the transfer of power took place. Henry Kissinger went on to Rhodesian television and Sidney gave his word that if things ever get out of line, if there ever ceased to be the rule of law there, America would intervene and protect those people. Henry Kissinger did this repeatedly in Rhodesia, and he convinced the people that they could believe America, that they would never, Chris, destroy that nation. And we orchestrated its destruction intentionally. Well, it was the same Henry Kissinger who actually had employed Paul Bremer. Paul Bremer had worked for Kissinger and Associates. He goes over to Iraq immediately after the hostilities end. And what does he do? He disbands the army. He disbands the military. He disbands the civil service. He closes the schools and the hospitals. He shuts off all the civil services there. He closes down the factories. He creates chaos. And, of course, the only way a lot of people can live is, of course, that they go to work for the rebels. And who's financing the rebels? Well, I sort of suspect that we were. I can't prove that, but it wouldn't be at all a surprise. Because we know, of course, that Al-Qaeda had been financed by the ISI. And who was funding the ISI during this time? ISI being Pakistani intelligence. why the American CIA? And you'll find out that Al-Qaeda has always been funded by Pakistani and the CIA. You can read the books written in 1999 before the 9/11 attack and books like Dollars for Terror. That's Dollars for Terror or Unholy Wars by James Cooley. And they will tell you the CIA, Saudi Arabia, and Pakistan intelligence, ISI, funded the Islamic terrorist movement. Certainly we know from Lord James' testimony before the Parliament on the 1st of November, and you can get that off the Internet, and we can provide it for you. We know Lord James testified, actually made the statement before Parliament, that he had funneled billions of dollars to the Irish terrorists and to the terrorists in North Africa. So I think that we can assume part of that was Al-Qaeda. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-2295. But basically, of course, we destroyed the infrastructure of Iraq. Was that a trial to see what we could do here in America? Look and see what's happening. All of our cities are having financial difficulties. Our states are having financial difficulties. They're laying off tremendous numbers of people. And, of course, we're systematically destroying the pensions, the savings of our people through the process of inflation. Could this be done intentionally? Well, we did it in Rhodesia intentionally, and we've impoverished those people. Over half of them have fled. Where would you flee to, ladies and gentlemen? How would you flee if they destroy the value of your life savings? This is what's going on. Are you concerned? Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I think, Kate, to keep going over this over and over again, but I think it's a very important thing. Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
supporter has been with us for 10, even 15 years on hard times, and we understand that. And a lot of them have lost their jobs, and they've had to withdraw from the membership and the Tape of the Month Club and the Radio Liberty family of supporters. So if you are in a position to take their position, their place, why, we'd love to hear from you. And if you're not, and you agree with me that we are involved in a spiritual battle being fought, played out on a political, ideological, cultural, financial, educational battlefield, but it is primarily a spiritual battle, and there really are secret societies out there, but bound together by a common hatred of the God of the Bible. If you agree with that premise, why, we hope many of you will give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like for us to understand what's going on in the Near East today and how we actually are creating the best enemy money could buy in preparation for a massive war in that area with the Islamic world, you have to understand how we created the Second World War. And if you haven't read my treatises on this, you need to get it. Certainly we have a letter set by Ambassador William Dodd, the American ambassador to Germany in 1936. He's writing to Colonel House, and I found the letter among Colonel House's papers. Nobody else has ever mentioned it. But William Dodd is saying to Colonel House, why are 100 American corporations over here in Germany building armaments, building the weapons of war, munitions, and certainly weapons for the German military? Nobody here wants another war. We just had a terrible war. Don't the people back at home know that there's no profit to be made building weapons over here? They're exchange controls. They can't get any money out. Why are the American corporations, 100 of them, building the weapons for Germany? Well, of course, William Dodd didn't understand. These were all Council on Foreign Relations, or most of them were Council on Foreign Relations corporations. They were part of the Brotherhood of Darkness, which had been encouraging Adolf Hitler and helping him at every time. It was 1936, just 3 years after Hitler had come to power, when Hitler was able to move his troops into the Rhineland in violation of the Treaty of Versailles. How did he know he could do that? Why? Because the members of the Cliveden set, the round table group, that was what they were called at the time, was encouraging him to do all of these things and encouraging him to expand his military and encouraging him to begin absorbing his neighbors. And this is covered in Professor Quigley's classic book, Thracian Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. But those American corporations and banks in Sydney, and factories were actually, and I'm talking about General Motors and Ford and Sydney, IT&T and Sydney, IBM and Exxon and Brown Brothers, Harriman, all the American banks were over there. And they were financing and building the weapons that Adolf Hitler then would use during the war. And it was not only before the war, but during the war. And the American corporations continued churning out the weapons during the invasion of Normandy and during the Battle of the Bulge. And, of course, our bombing raids, we did not hit the American factories. We let them continue turning out the weapons. We bombed the German factories, but not the American factories. This is covered in Professor Sutton's book, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. That's Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. John Loftus, who actually was employed by the Justice Department with a security clearance, three levels above top secret, had the opportunity to go through the secret files, went into the background of those 100 American corporations. Their CEOs worked all during the war to build the weapons for the Nazis, weapons that used to kill American boys. The CEOs of those American corporations, the American heads, were arrested after the Second World War and then very quietly released. We can never let the American people know that book is America's Nazi secret. Get the information. Help us expose it. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of William Grigg. Hi, William. How are you doing tonight?
Dr. Stan, it's a pleasure to be with you. I'm a little under the weather, but improving, thanks to the very generous gifts that you provided.
Well, I'm glad. Have you already got the latest supply we've sent? I know it's on the way.
I had some left over from the last
batch. Okay, fine.
Thank you so much. That's been the real godsend.
Well, I'm glad it's helping. And we got to keep you working there, because you're on the front lines of the same identical battle. It's battle of relief of the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. So what are we going to talk about tonight?
I'm struck by the fact that today is the confluence of two strikingly different holidays, and of course a holiday is a holy day. It's Good Friday for those who are adherents of Christianity, at least in the Western branch of the Christian world, and that of course represents a day of great solemnity and contemplation for those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ and appreciate what the empty tomb means. This, of course, is the opposite of the empty tomb. This has to do with the phase of Christ's atonement in which he forfeited his corporeal life on our behalf. And of course, it was something he gave away. It wasn't taken from him. Nobody could take it from him. But on the other hand, today is also Lenin's birthday, which is to say Earth Day. It's a completely different religion and a completely contrary view of the world, one that rejects the idea, for the most part, of a creator. There are people within the environmental religion who are deistic in their outlook, or in some other sense are vaguely spiritual or religious in a way that could be broadly analogous to a more conventional monotheistic view of creation. But for the most part, you're worshiping the creator rather than worshiping the creation rather than the creator if you subscribe to environmentalism. It's just interesting you have this juxtaposition today as we see, really, in my opinion, the accelerating of this grand unraveling.
And, you know, I think it's really so amazing that Earth Day is Lenin's birthday. Now, why didn't anybody ever talk about that? Because the common denominator behind this whole environmental movement is to increase the power of the state over the lives of the people. That's what environmentalism is all about. And that is what Leninism and communism was all about, was increasing the power of government over the lives of the people. And every communist understands the true significance of Earth Day, and there's probably not one in 10,000 Americans who understands that Earth Day was selected because it was Lenin's birthday. Go right ahead.
It's interesting how Gaylord Nelson, who's described as the founder of Earth Day, although I think there are some other plausible contenders for that ignominious title, I'll talk about one such in just a minute, went through severe contortions after admitting that there was a nexus between Earth Day and Lenin's birthday decades ago. When it became a matter of public controversy, suddenly he disavowed this and accused those of us who highlighted that nexus of having bad motives or perhaps being clinically paranoid.
Well, you know, they always like to say, oh, it's Arbor Day. Oh, it was about Arbor Day. You know, ladies and gentlemen, every communist knows. But, of course, there may be some people out there who really sincerely believe in Earth Day do not understand that everything has a double significance. To the environmentalist, to the sincere environmentalist, and there are those out there who really are concerned about the environment, why this, of course, is Arbor Day, save the trees and save the environment. But the communists understand, and believe me, there are millions of them out there with intense hatred. Well, of course, they're not smart enough to understand they're being manipulated in this whole thing as well. We'll be back here in just a moment here with our good friend, William Grigg. Go right ahead, William.
You made mention of the fact that the philosophical underpinning of environmentalism is totalitarian. It posits the supposed necessity of the entire human population to submit to central control over the economy and over all human interactions with the environment in the name of saving the planet, saving the biosphere, and so forth. The most prominent exponent of that view today, of course, is Al Gore. And in the book that Carol Browner wrote for him about 20 years ago, Earth in the Balance, there was a really candid description of this totalitarian mindset when he said that saving the planet, saving the environment, has to become, and I'm quoting now, the central organizing principle of human society. Now, when you have a government claiming to rearrange society in the name of a central organizing principle, you're talking about Lenin's vision of government, albeit in this instance on a global scale, and they've slapped a coat of green paint over the red ideology and economic assumptions here, which is why often people refer to watermelon environmentalism being green on the outside and red in the middle. But any way you look at this, any way you splice that watermelon, it comes up collectivist, totalitarian collectivist. And since 1992, since the Earth Summit in that year, you've had, through the United Nations, a slow and somewhat meandering but still progressing effort to infiltrate every level of human society and every level of government, be it national or regional or state or county, with these assumptions of biocentrism. And biocentrism is what Al Gore was talking about. The central organizing principle of human society has to be that we will do everything according to the dictates of a vanguard that is attuned to the otherwise unheard rhythm and logic of nature, and that these people have to be invested with plenary power, that their recommendations will be taken to self-ratifying, that those of us who reject, on the basis of sound empirical science, their depiction of what's happening, or reject on the basis of sound economic reasoning their prescriptions, are deniers. Now, that's a phrase that Mr. Obama used just a couple of days ago in a talk denouncing what he called climate change deniers. And that, of course, is a term of art that's supposed to resonate with the phrase Holocaust denier. People who are considered Holocaust deniers are expelled from polite society because they're seen as people who are operating on the basis of invidious motives toward Jewish people, or perhaps out of a desire to reinstitute Nazism, which is a dead and thoroughly buried totalitarian philosophy, while you've got other totalitarian philosophies that are just as evil and just as murderous that are still galloping onward. One of them, of course, is radical environmentalism.
Hold that thought, and we'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Sidney Williams is talking about the fact that the whole theme of environmentalism is increasing the power of government over the lives of the people so we can save the planet. And if we don't, of course, give up our freedom and let the government control everything, of Mother Earth is going to be destroyed. And so this is the basic goal of Al Gore and the other people that work with him. Behind the scenes, of course, most environmentalists, I believe, are very sincere and gullible people who are really honestly concerned about the environment, and with good reason. Some think they've actually got a very good points about some of the real problems that we have, without realizing, of course, that many of these problems are intentionally produced by people who want to justify all power to the state and the very corporations that they oppose. You know, these greedy corporations who are polluting the planet are the very people who are financing behind the scenes the environmental movement. In fact, that's where it came from. The environmental movement began with large gifts from the oil companies. Why would they do that? Because the environmental movement is used to destroy competition. So they can, certainly the last thing they want is competition, and they want, of course, control all means of energy production, and now they're deeply involved, some of them are, in the so-called green energy, which is going to be a disaster. But the whole idea, of course, is get the price of energy up so high that we will not use the energy, and it will lower our living standards, and that's what they really want, that an extermination of large segments of the world's population. And they openly talk about that, the necessity of killing off the majority of the world's population. But you never mention costs in polite society. William, go right ahead.
I do think that when you're talking about the rank and file of people who are caught in the undertow of environmentalism, you're describing people who are acting out of benign motives and out of a badly conceived commitment to what they consider to be charitable and philanthropic and genuinely commendable effort to preserve the natural environment. And, of course, this is part of our stewardship. Those of us who subscribe to what we might call the Genesis perspective on nature and on man's role in the environment understand that we have a stewardship. We're accountable to the Creator. We're given not full-orbed authority over the earth, but we're given authority to develop it and to be sound and prudent husbands of nature. And we're supposed to give an accounting for our use to he who owns everything. And the book of Isaiah, I believe, is in the 41st chapter. I can't remember for certain, but I think it's in the 41st chapter. It says that the earth exists to be inhabited. In other words, we're not incidental to the purpose of nature. And we're not an eczema afflicting the surface of our Holy Mother Gaia, as many of the deep ecologists and deep environmentalists would insist. But they represent a relatively, in numerical terms, a relatively insignificant portion of this mass movement. But they are the ones who are controlling it in terms of the ideology. Now, Dr. Stan, just a moment ago you adverted to the fact that in terms of where the money comes from that is propelling this movement, it comes from a group of people that most people would consider to be at odds with the objectives of environmentalism, and that, of course, would be a lot of the big energy, big oil concerns. And it's in order to document this connection, it's necessary only to go to a local university library with an adequate depository of reference works and get the Environmental Grantmakers Index, the EGA, the Environmental Grantmakers Association Index for every year, and you can find a pretty comprehensive list of the grants that are flowing out of foundations which are created and funded by oil companies, and of course the usual suspects, the Ford Rockefeller foundations, the Pew Charitable Trust, people of that sort as well. And what's happening in that respect, of course, as you pointed out, Dr. Stan, is what some economists rather call rent seeking, the idea being that you have these men of system, that's a term that Adam Smith used, who are corporatists rather than entrepreneurial capitalists, who prosper by their proximity to people in political power, and they use the power of the government in this relationship to distort markets to protect themselves against competition. And so you create a cartel, an effective cartel, by cuddling up to government and becoming a favored client. And that's how most economies are organized. They used to be called mercantilist economies. And this is an old model. Good grief, you can go back to the last couple of centuries before the Christian era, and you take a look at the Ptolemies, who ruled in the Mediterranean, in Greece and Egypt. They had a thoroughly cartelized economy, very sophisticated one, as a matter of fact. And Rome took over management of some elements of that corporatist system, what we now call corporatist system, now called mercantilist as well. That was the reigning economic model against which the American colonists rebelled, quite frankly. That's not something that's widely appreciated, is the fact that one of the things that really got under the skin of the colonists was the fact that the British Ministry for the Americas was rigged along the lines of mercantilist rather than free market capitalist economy. And so you had a situation where they couldn't compete, where the colonists were literally being plundered and mulcted on behalf of this distant, corrupt arrangement that was this obscene union between big corporate interests and the British colonial ministry for the Americas. So they rebelled against that model. And now we see, of course, in many, many ways, the environmental movement, not the least of them, how there's this enhancement of that same mechanism. But it's taken on a much more ominous cast because of the ideology involved. I mean, the British East India Tea Company wasn't talking about the supposed necessity of having complete and detailed scrutiny of every activity in the productive productive economy by every human being. They weren't talking about limiting family size or treating huge chunks of the population as disposable in the interest of the supposed greater good. That's not the way those people worked in the 18th and 19th centuries during the high era of British mercantilism. You take a look at environmental collectivism today, and not at the margins, but at the very heart of the thing, you can find some really shocking expressions of this deeply misanthropic nature and of the ideology. And one really good example of this, of course, and I think we've discussed this before, was this obscene TV advertising campaign that was put up by the 1010 movement, the 1010 campaign in Britain last year. It debuted in October. It was a campaign called No Pressure, and it was a four-minute-long television advertisement that was also broadcast on the web that featured a series of vignettes in which people in various settings. You had a classroom, a public school classroom. I guess what they'd call a government school. I don't know if they call it a public school classroom in Great Britain. We'd call it a public school classroom here. A bunch of children who were lectured by their teacher about thinking up ways, 10 ways to reduce the or ways to reduce the carbon footprint of the class by 10%. And she got a show of hands. This is mandatory. They expressed the objective. Then they got a show of hands. Who wants to participate in this? Who's going to go back and talk to Mummy and Daddy about reducing their carbon footprint? Okay, now who's not interested in this? Raise your hands. No pressure. And when the people who were the holdouts raised their hands, the teacher would grab a control with a big red button on it, push the button, and then the holdouts would spontaneously combust and scatter gore and viscera over the rest of the shocked classroom. And then the second vignette was in an office where the employees were run into a big common area, and some zompolit, that's the Russian expression for political officer, you know, the person in the company who was assigned to be the compliance officer from the Ministry for Green Regimentation or whatever they call it, gave the same lecture. Who's going to be involved in this program to reduce their carbon footprint? Who's going to hold out? And the same thing ensued, where the holdouts were identified, and then they were immediately blown to a bloody mist. And then I believe the third vignette involved a football team. But the objection, or rather the message here, is that people who are not part of this movement, and this movement is a religion, that's a very important element of what we're discussing here. It posits an origin, it posits a sense of collective obligation based on moral assertions. And religion means people, or means binding together, religare, means binding together. We're supposed to be bound together in this common cause, rooted in a sense of our purpose in existence, and also buttressed by largely untestable moral assertions. So it is a religion. But the point of this was that those of us who are eco-heretics, those of us who are intransigent, who are refractory, who don't want to go along, those of us who aren't part of the collective consensus, are just basically taking up space that is best cleared out by whatever means necessary. And we should stop using the resources that belong to the collective. And, of course, there's no pressure, but if you don't go along with the program, then you're to be considered disposable. Now, when I wrote about this last October, first of all, I had to look into this because I'd heard about this campaign, seen a couple of the clips. I found myself irresistibly reminded of a couple of perfectly horrible things that have been said by fairly significant people. One of them is an individual we mentioned before, David Graeber, who's been the chief scientist for the Pacific West region of the National Park Service. Way back in 1989, he wrote a book review in the New York Times, forgive me, the Los Angeles Times newspaper, in which he made the case that in order for Gaia, that is to say the sanctified Earth, to be saved, then countless millions of human beings need to be put to death. And I'm quoting now from Mr. Graeber: human happiness and certainly human fecundity, that is fruitfulness, being fruitful and multiplying, are not as important as a wild and healthy planet. I know social scientists who remind me that people are a part of nature, but that isn't true. We have become a plague upon ourselves and upon the earth. Until such time as Homo sapiens should decide to rejoin nature, some of us can only hope for the right virus to come along. And then 10 years after that, Mr. Graeber was interviewed by Reason magazine, and he reiterated what he had said. He said, anything that reduces human populations or reduces their growth is a benefit to just about everything else on the planet. And in other words, he didn't disavow the idea that genocide would be a useful prescription for environmental health. This guy was with the National Park Service, chief biologist.
But of course, there are many, many people who have echoed similar sentiments. It's so difficult, I think, for the average sane person to believe this is true, but this is a common belief among many. And in the environmental movement. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I think you're entirely correct.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment. William, go right ahead.
In terms of...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work. It's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
You find it difficult to believe that anybody could want to kill, you know, half the population, two-thirds of the population, 90% of the population, 95% of the world's population, and see absolutely nothing morally wrong about that. But there are people who have a different worldview. Go right ahead, William.
There's another ancestor of this point of view that I've written about before, and that's the Marquis de Sade. There's a really interesting book by the late Eric Ritter von Quesnel-Lodin called Leftism Revisited. It went through, I think, three different editions, and all of them are worth getting. But the one that I consider best was the 1990 edition that traced the pedigree of leftism from de Sade. And most people don't think of de Sade, the Marquis de Sade, or Sade for the convenience of our conversation here, as a leftist, but he certainly was. He was very much a part of the pagan revolutionary milieu in France in the late 18th century. In his writings, which are scabrous and unreadable for anybody who is equipped with even a rudimentary sense of morality and a functioning gag reflex, are larded with all kinds of foreshadowings of contemporary leftism, both in terms of the assault on permanent institutions, that is to say, those institutions that were part of the created order rather than the artifacts of the political state. Mr. Sade was a very big proponent of the total state and also a proponent of complete moral emancipation. Those two things can coexist, but also in terms of how he prescribed the exercise of government power. This is what he wrote, and trust me, I don't want anybody to read Sade's work. Please, don't do it. I managed to choke down a very small sampling of it, and the books went immediately airborne. I mean, there were literally occasions when I threw the books across the room. I was so mortally disgusted by what I was reading. And the book in question I'm talking about now is Juliet, And this is what he said by way of the government education system that he wanted to create. Let us create public schools where, as soon as they are weaned, the young may be reared, installed therein as wards of the state. The child can forget even his mother's name. Now, I thought that was really quite interesting because that comes in the same section where he talks about his moral perspective on how to deal with the rest of humanity. What he says is that were I to discover that my only possibility of happiness lay in excessive perpetration of the most atrocious crimes without qualm, I'd enact every last one of them this very instant, certain that the foremost of the laws nature decrees to me is to enjoy myself, no matter at whose expense. Now, the nature that he's talking about, of course, is the nature as perceived by those who do not believe in a created order, those who believe that we are basically animals, we're matter in motion that is coalesced in the form of cunning and slightly more intelligent animals than the rest of the animals in nature, and that we exalt ourselves above the other animals in ways that are unhealthy, and that so we should surrender ourselves to the expression of every base impulse, the expression of every reflex, every instinct, because that's what we really are. And the purpose of education is to get us in touch with the more debased and natural element of our personality, rather than helping people educate themselves by refining those gifts that the Creator has instilled in us to bring glory to Him by mixing our labor with creation in ways that are responsible and productive and that benefit others. That, what I'm describing in the latter instance, is what the Genesis perspective on the world is all about. You know, you will, by the sweat of your brow, eat your bread. You're mixing your labor with the earth. You're mixing your labor with creation. You're producing something that's of value to somebody else. And in doing so, of course, you're bringing honor to the Creator, and you're helping everybody to prosper. Now, the other perspective is that we're basically animals, and we should revert to our prelapsarian animalistic nature. That's what Desaad was talking about. And then he said something toward the end of the book that is very much in harmony with radical environmentalism of the sort that the 1010 campaign was promoting. I'm trying to find the quote here. I'll tell you just a second. He talks about deified nature, and then he says, if from immolating 3 million human victims you stand to gain no lively or pleasure, then that is to be had from eating a good dinner. You ought to treat yourself to it without an instant's hesitation. Then he went on to say that there would be no loss to nature if all of mankind were to disappear. Nature stands not in the slightest need of human propagation, and the total disappearance of mankind would grieve her very little. So really, the Marquis de Sade was a proto-environmentalist, and you can see his philosophy running through contemporary environmentalism on this, the high holy day of radical environmentalism in 2011.
And unfortunately, or I should say fortunately, there is the other alternative. Today is also the day that we celebrate the crucifixion and death of our Savior. So
yeah.
The two opposites. One, certainly, that life has no meaning. The other is life is full of hope because Christ died for our sins.
Made reference just a few minutes ago to Gaylord Nelson, the Wisconsin senator, who's pretty much universally considered to be the founder of Earth Day, but he shares that distinction with a fellow by the name of Ira Einhorn. I don't know if we've had occasion in the past to talk about Einhorn, or as he referred to himself, the unicorn, because that's what the word Einhorn transliterates into from the German. But Ira Einhorn was the so-called hippie guru of Philadelphia, who was the master of ceremonies at the inaugural Earth Day rally on April 22nd, 1970. And he's somebody who had been very well-groomed and very lavishly funded by many of the people we were talking about in the world of tax-exempt foundations and the establishment. He's somebody who had been on more than conversational terms with people in the Rockefeller and Ford Foundation. He's somebody who had been in contact with the Trilateral Commission when he was the MC gathering the tie-dyed masses together on the first Earth Day, people who believed that they were doing something about trying to clean up nature, make the world a better place for future generations. This guy was really wired into the establishment, and he was a completely pathological human being. He saw no value to any other human being. He saw no value to anything that impeded his appetites. He was, in a very specific sense, a sadist, a disciple of the Marquis de Sade, the fellow who said that nature decrees that I enjoy myself at no matter whose expense, and that most people are fit only to be killed and composted. Well, it turns out that that's exactly what Mr. Einhorn did to his living girlfriend, a lovely young lady by the name of Holly Maddox. Her name was Helen. She was known by most people, known to most people as Holly. She lived with him and then broke up with him in 1977. About, let me think, how long was it? Several years after she disappeared. She disappeared after breaking away. Never knew what happened to her. Several years later, I believe it was about 19...
Hold that thought, and we'll find out in just a moment.
All right.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Sydney William is talking about one of the co-founders of the so-called Earth Day celebration, and this was a gentleman who was very much a supporter of the ideas put forward by the Marquis de Sade, and he had a girlfriend and who he had lived with for some time, and then they broke up, and she suddenly disappeared. Now, here's one of the co-founders of Earth Day, this great organization that we, of course, celebrate today, Lenin's birthday, and also, of course, this year, why, of course, corresponding with the day we celebrate the death and crucifixion of our Lord. But go right ahead. What happened to this young lady?
It really tells something about a religion by looking at the founder thereof. And this guy I would consider to be one of the founders, at least in terms of the public ritual of Earth Day and radical environmentalism. Holly Maddox, or Helen Maddox, lived with him until 1977. They had
this is a man named Einhorn, is that right?
Yeah, Ira Einhorn.
Einhorn, okay.
Einhorn means one horn. He called himself a unicorn. He was the high priest, if you will, of the counterculture in the Philadelphia area. Holly Maddox had been raised by a very conservative family. She was a lovely girl. She'd been a very successful student athlete and very accomplished student in high school. She, I believe, went on to get her degree in college. And after falling into the sphere of influence of Einhorn, who was a charismatic and not entirely off-putting individual. He had a certain charisma about him. He'd been a very successful athlete himself. He'd been an outstanding football player, and he was a man of some intellect and some ability to organize. He had many gifts, and his most conspicuous gift, of course, was the gift of self-gratification. But after Helen Maddox moved in with him, and I'm pulling most of these details from my memory, I haven't written about this or studied this case since 1999 when I wrote a cover story for the New American Magazine that dealt with Einhorn, who at the time was living in exile. He had fled the country, and he was living in France, trying to avoid extradition to the United States. But Helen Maddox disappeared. Nobody knew what happened to her. 18 months later, somebody living in the townhouse, I believe the basement floor of the townhouse where Einhorn had lived with Holly Maddox, they had an upstairs apartment, had detected a really foul odor emanating from Einhorn's apartment. That wasn't uncommon because Mr. Einhorn, as is the case with people of his bohemian disposition, considered bathing to be sort of a bourgeois affectation, and people described him as being, ironically enough, somebody who was committed to cleaning up the environment, but he defouled the immediate environment wherever he happened to decamp at any given time. Some people said he put off an aroma not unlike that of an old moldering Philadelphia cheesesteak sandwich. So this is somebody who was no slave to personal hygiene. So it wasn't unusual that his apartment would smell bad. But it got to the point where it was becoming a menace, and it was making people sick. And so this guy, Einhorn, was in his apartment one day when the police knocked on the door, and they wanted to inspect a steamer trunk that was in his closet. And they went in, and they took a look at the steamer trunk, and they noticed that there was this brackish liquid that had been oozing from it. They opened the trunk, and they found the decomposing remains of Holly Maddox. She had been bludgeoned with an object. Her skull had been shattered, and she had been strangled. And they said, "We seem to have found Holly," and what Einhorn said is, "You found what you found." He was arrested and charged with premeditated murder, and he was able to get bail. He was able to get bail basically on his own recognizance. He was given extravagantly, ridiculously lenient terms for bail because of the intervention of a huge roster of very influential people from academia and the tax-exempt foundation networks, people who vouched for him as a great humanitarian because of his role in organizing the First Earth Day. And one person who was very influential in arranging this was a lawyer, a proverbial Philadelphia lawyer, by the name of Arlen Specter. That's the same magic bullet Arlen Specter, who played an interesting role, of course, in the Kennedy assassination cover-up, and later on helped to get Bill Clinton off when Mr. Clinton was impeached. Arlen Specter was the indispensable Republican senator who said that the case for impeachment had not been proven. He rummaged around in the arcana of Scottish law to find a choice that was neither A nor B, neither guilty nor not guilty, when he was being convicted on the impeachment charges preferred against him by the impeachment managers in the House. Arlen Specter, with a very self-indulgent smirk, said, I'm going to invoke this ancient and completely irrelevant concept from Scottish law called not proven. The point of my article I wrote in 1999, the cover story was entitled A Tale of Two Sociopaths, was to show what I consider to be some interesting personality continuities between Ira Einhorn and Bill Clinton, beginning with a really interesting physical resemblance. I mean, they were both hefty, square-jawed men. They'd both gone gray by this time. They each had a full head of hair. They're stocky, charismatic, intelligent, and as far as I could tell, utterly clinically indifferent to the rights and needs of others. Well, Mr. Einhorn fled to France, and he was supported in high fashion. First he went to Ireland, then he ended up in France. And until the early years of the 21st century, a good 20 years or so, 22, 23 years, he was guilty as sin-free as a bird. Now, he was convicted in absentia in Philadelphia by District Attorney Lynn Abramson, who was something of a crusader. And as a condition of having him extradited to the United States to stand trial, the French government secured a promise from the district attorney's office in Philadelphia, first of all, that he would be retried, that the earlier conviction would somehow be voided, and that he would be retried in person, and secondly, the prosecution wouldn't seek the death penalty. And on those terms, Mr. Einhorn was arrested in France and extradited to the United States. He's now living at public expense in the penitentiary system somewhere in the United States. But once again, I want to underscore the fact that this is the personality of the guy who was the MC. He was the presiding high priest at the original Earth Day back in 1970. There's a piece about Einhorn that was published today by Remy Molina on MSNBC.com, and the headline is entirely appropriate. Earth Day co-founder killed and composted girlfriend. Ira Einhorn preached against the Vietnam War and violence, but he had a dark side. Well, he had nothing but a dark side, as far as I can tell, in the research that I've done into his personality, because he was entirely a creature of his own appetites. He was the distilled essence of the Sadian or sadistic element of the leftist tributary that feeds into the environmentalist movement. And so I'm not at all surprised to see that was how he comported himself when dealing with a woman whom he had seduced and over whom he had influenced. Once she had rebelled against him and turned into an irritant, he summarily killed her, because, quite frankly, that's entirely in keeping with his religion. Once again, what was it that Marquis de Sade said? Basically, if killing somebody or killing a whole lot of people is a whim you want to indulge, then indulge it. Because, quite frankly, nobody has a right to live. And you have a right to have your appetites summarily and totally satisfied, or have your desires, your appetites and whims summarily and totally satisfied at an instant, at the expense of anybody, whatever expense to anybody else. So that doesn't surprise me at all. What surprises me, quite frankly, is that people are taken in by the appeals to idealism that the environmental movement is constantly making. And that, of course, has to do with the sacramental function, if you will, of a lot of what is done in government schools, what's done in entertainment, what's done in the so-called news media. Just over the last couple of days, suddenly, and not surprisingly, there was this outpouring of stories about various environmental concerns having to do with what is now called climate change, which is an open-ended and thoroughly deceptive title for what used to be called global warming, which of course is something that is provably nonsense, and also having to do with air and water pollution and having to do with the leaching of chemicals and pesticides and things of that nature into the food supply. Of course, as you pointed out, Dr. Stand, a lot of these are legitimate concerns. There are externalities to human productivity that have to be taken into account. And once again, there is this principle of stewardship that is very much a part of what the Bible teaches and what the Genesis paradigm of creation would have us understand. The problem here is that the prescription being offered to deal with the problem is exactly the opposite of what works. They're talking about centralizing power, making it more onerous and making it less accountable. And every time that has been used as a method of organizing society, the results have been catastrophic. As anybody who's examined the environmental despoilation that took place in Lenin's regime and the regime of his successors in the Soviet Union will testify. You take a look at what's happened because of centrally planned and centrally directed economies where there are no incentives for thrift, there are no principles of stewardship rooted in property and rooted in the idea of transmitting something that's heritable to your heirs, your children, their grandchildren, where something is owned by everybody and is equally neglected by all alike. I wish I would have been the first to say it. I'm not. Aristotle was. He said it a number of millennia ago, but it remains true. That's one of the common things you find in human nature. One of the persistent traits of our makeup is that if we're not told that we have ownership over something, if we're told that nobody really is responsible for something, then chances are it's going to be very badly abused or neglected. I think it was P.J. O'Rourke who said that if you want to have the paradigmatic example of how socialism works, and environmentalism is a subset of socialism, take a look at a public restroom. That's a really good example, a very, very good snapshot, microcosm, of the collectively operated or collectively quote-unquote environment or the collectively owned or operated economy. Nobody has any incentive to take care of a public restroom, apart, of course, from the people who are hired to do so, and they really don't have any incentive to take care of it. They don't own it. It's standard and, once again, a persistent trait. We take care of that which we own and that which we want to give to others who are important to us. And environmentalism doesn't work that way because it's all based on the idea of central planning and regimentation. Alan Karuba, who's an economic analyst and a debunker of all kinds of false political nostrums, he founded the National Anxiety Center in 1990. I love the name of that organization. Points out the following about Earth Day, this pagan holiday that is being commemorated by people who really should be commemorating Good Friday. He says that Earth Day was established in 1970, and millions of Americans and others around the world have been steadily brainwashed to embrace the impression that environmentalism is about protecting the Earth. But when Greens talk about them among themselves, it is a very different story, and a frightening one at that. The propaganda program that supports the Green Agenda is impressive in its scope. Its locus is the United Nations, whose Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change was revealed in 2009 to be a complete hoax based on the manipulation of computer models to predict a warming due to excess carbon dioxide. There never was any threat from CO2. It is a gas that is vital to the growth of all vegetation on Earth. It represents a very minor, even minuscule part of Earth's atmosphere. Nothing, however, deters the green agenda, and since the first Earth Day, it has penetrated the nation's schools and, of course, its politics, deliberately deterring and thwarting access to the nation's vast reserves of oil, coal, and natural gas, the greatest such reserves in the world. It is a drag on business development. It is the ultimate nanny state, seeking to alter people's lifestyles through coercion, legislation, and persuasion. Although if you have coercion and legislation in your arsenal, persuasion is something you don't need to bother with. Now, to this litany, I would also add that since about 1992, coincident with the UN Earth Summit in Rio de Janeiro, there has been a concerted effort to mobilize churches on behalf of the green religion. And this is something that started, of course, with the Cathedral of St. John the Divine in New York City, which seems to be sort of at the polluted headwaters of every form of New Age and collectivist religion in this country. That is sort of the, I don't want to use the expression snarkily, but I use it in terms of its metaphorical application. That's sort of the Vatican, if you will, of adulterated, postmodern, deracinated New Age and pagan spirituality is the Cathedral of St. John the Divine. I remember when I was researching this subject about 20 years ago, I was struck by the fact that they would have these at the cathedral, and Al Gore was in attendance during ceremonial blessing of the animals that they had there, where they were literally reenacting some of the religious ceremonies that are very similar to what the ancient Canaanites did in terms of their nature-oriented pagan worship. And that's where the word pagan comes from. It refers to the countryside. It refers primarily to animism and ritual and spirituality rooted in the idea that man is part of an undifferentiated natural world, and we just happen to be the language-using animal, but other than that, we're indistinguishable from them. Now, once again, I advert to Genesis. I go back to the fact that in Genesis we're told that we're made in the image and likeness of our Creator, that our Creator gave us stewardship, gave us dominion, that is to say, lordship, over the rest of creation, that we were a special, a discrete creation, that we weren't created en masse with the other orders of life on this planet, whether vegetation or animal, that we were specially created and given a living soul, given an intellect that is susceptible to growth and expansion and development, and given the ability in a reflective way. I don't want to give any indication here that I'm seeking to deify man, because that's not my intention. But we were given the ability to mimic through reflection the creative enterprise of our Creator. And in doing so, of course, we add to His glory, and we are part of a process that elevates and expands the realm of human happiness, in addition, of course, to adding luster and glory to our Creator. That's not true of other orders of life on this planet. They don't use language, they don't form parliaments, they do not debate abstract concepts. I have no idea if there is, within the lower orders of creation, any created animals who think of a soul. I doubt that's the case, because that's an attribute, as I read the scriptures, that is unique to man. Environmentalism is meant to go back and repudiate in detail, in specific detail, and comprehensively the creative order as described in Genesis. To dethrone God, to supplant the worship of creation for the worship of the Creator, and in doing so to reduce man from our proper station into this morass of other animals where we behave like Ira Einhorn or the Marquis de Sade. And that, of course, is what's being celebrated today by people who are adherents of that religion, while those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ are in solemn reflection of what Good Friday means in anticipation of Resurrection Sunday.
Adam Kirsten, what a wonderful comparison of the two basic philosophies which govern the world today. One, of course, destructive, and the other offers hope and promise to mankind. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program with William Greig. Well, William, we've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program, and then when we get to the other side of this break, I will ask you to go ahead and get out the vital statistics out.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-Dry Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Power Hour Radio Show. Thank you for joining us. It is April 22nd, 2011. I think I sound strange. It's because we don't have a very good connection here today. Don't know what happened, but think maybe we may have lost a connection when it was cut, so we're unfortunately going to continue as we can for this hour. May have to go to a replay in the next hour if it doesn't come up. So just warn you that if we do, it'll be a chemtrail replay with, let's see, who do we say, Josh? G. Edward Griffin, yeah.
and I think you'll like it. But unfortunately, we would like to be giving away a satellite dish and doing some other things today. But that's just the way it goes. If you are watching television today, you're watching the movement of more troops into Libya and the use of predator drones. I want to talk about this because this is one of those hot button issues of mine in which I want to say, what are they thinking as to the reason why they say they're using the predator drones? Going back to the Apple iPhone, ladies and gentlemen, if you've got an Apple iPhone, they know everywhere you've been for the past year. It keeps and records wherever you've been for the last year. Now, I was just saying to Josh here a few minutes ago that I'm sure there are some guys who had maybe a couple of girlfriends that are probably just paralyzed by this idea that there is some permanent record of where they've been. I mean, all of this social networking stuff is not in our favor. Do we understand that? It is not in our favor. And the reason that they have it, well, it's because it controls us. Did you hear about the protesters that have been, they've been chiding the president when he speaks? Only problem is that they are the protesters that are the supporters of Obama, not happy with all the quote-unquote change.